Okay, in Parshas, last week's Parsha that we just read, Parshas Balak. So there's, in my opinion, there's an interesting theme that runs through the Parsha that perhaps is overlooked and is very relevant for this time of the year. The theme in Parshas Balak is not the entire plan of Balak with Bilam together to attack Klal Yisrael was not with swords and not with weapons and not with war. It was merely through words. That was the entire plan. Balak hired Bilam not to attack them physically with an army and with soldiers and with guns, but they just cursed them. Just with words. A couple of words you'll recite. Tosfos says in Brachos, he said one word, Kaleim. It should be destroyed. And that was it. End of story. End of the Jewish people forever. And that doesn't exactly the way it happens. And we know, Baruch Hashem, every klola that Bilam wanted turned into a brach. So even in the end of the parasha, we see the idea of the power of words. Instead of it being a negative word, like a klola, it reverses to being a positive word that becomes a brach. So the Torah is telling us that we have to realize that our words matter. You know, people think it doesn't matter what you say as long as I didn't hurt you. I didn't touch you. I didn't harm you. It's not true. The words of good have such a long-lasting impact. And the opposite, the words of negativity can have a very long-lasting impact as well. So the Torah is reminding us that we have to be careful with the words we choose to use. Chafetz Chaim writes that when the Gemara says Sinat Chinam was the reason for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, he says it's pasha to him. It means Lashon Hara. Goes without saying, it means Lashon Hara as well. It's not just people are mean to each other, they kicked each other, they smacked each other. It means they spoke ill of each other. They violated Lashon Hara. So this is the time of the year where we're trying to be misakin these types of problems. We're trying to be careful. We have to realize what we say does matter. People's lives have been ruined by statements made by people, either not realizing what they're saying, or realizing what they're saying and just not caring. It really, lives are ruined. People's lives are ruined, completely ruined with words, without any actions, without any physicality, just with the recitation of a few words, a comment, a statement, maybe even a kalach hayad, you didn't mean to say it, and lives can be and have been ruined. And this is the time of year where we're trying to be misakin all these mistakes that we make. That's this week's Tuesday night share. Give myself a plug. For this Tuesday night share, we're going to be discussing in the world of Shidduchim, everyone has this policy that for Shidduchim, everything goes. You can say whatever you want to whoever you want, and you don't, Lashon Hara is like, it's like Hutra. There's no Issa Lashon Hara when it comes to Shidduchim. It's not so pashut. Again, lives can be ruined in Shidduchim world also. You say the wrong thing about a boy or a girl, they can't get married. That's Hariga. That's killing them today. So we'll talk about that as well this week. So it's an important topic this week where the Torah is reminding us that we have to be careful what we say, how we say things and what we say and to whom we say and to what our intentions are. All these things make a very big difference. But I think perhaps the message the Torah is relaying to us is directed towards us at what happened this week in history. We know Baruch Hashem on Sunday, after much tefillah on behalf of Klal Yisrael, they found the body. This takes us to today's show as well. They found the body of a missing Rabbi Bauman, Zatzal, and they were able to give him a Kuras Yisrael. Now, Pi Derech HaTeva, that body should have probably not been found because the Coast Guard and the regular people gave up search. It was just Am Yisrael kept on fighting and fighting and fighting to finally not give up, and Baruch Hashem, we were Zeich. Now, Klal Yisrael unified. There's no doubt in my mind. We all got together, and people came from all over the world to help, to make a difference, and people gave money, and people gave time. It was beautiful. We united. But the problem is, it's only a tragedy that brings us together. Why is it that we only unite as one when we're under stress, someone's suffering, there's a problem? Why can't we just come together when things are good? And perhaps that's the message in this week's parasha. The pasuk tells us that Bilam gets yelled at by his donkey. His donkey tells him, why you hit me? Zeh shalosh regalim. These three regalim. So Rashi says, what's the word regalim? So Rashi says, he's giving him a musash mus. He's telling him, you think you're going to curse the Jewish people? No way. They keep the shalosh regalim. So they're untouchable. So the obvious question is the shalosh regalim. If I had to pick something Jewish people do that gives us protection, shalosh regalim, why is that the thing that's going to protect us? So many pshatim are given. I'd like to suggest, perhaps what I think is the most positive pshat. What happens in Shalosh Regal? Klal Yisrael from all over the world, all over Eretz Yisrael, goes together to Eretz Yisrael. It's a joyous time. We're happy. It's a mitzvah of a samachta. And I can imagine that when all Jews get together in one big room, fight breaks out. That's just the tendency of when we all get together. So the Torah is saying, you know what the godless of Shalosh Regal was? There was a time of joy. We were not oppressed. We were actually enjoying, and we still were able to get along. Even despite our differences, I'm sure when people came from different parts of Eretz Yisrael, they all brought their own mishigasim and their own hagim and their own shittas and their own hashkafas. I'm sure there was easily room to have a fight and a debate. But I'm assuming, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, but I'm assuming it was a joyous experience. That's the godless of Klal Yisrael. Our greatest godless is that we can come together, not under tsar and oppression and distress. That's no great shakes. That's posh. But if we can come together when things are good, when we're not being oppressed, and no one's trying to get us, and there's no tzara, no one's suffering, that's when we are praised by HaKadosh Baruch. Maybe that's what the Torah is telling us, this expression, that it's our job not to wait for a tzara to happen. Oh, that's going to unify us. Oh, we're going to come together. Oh, we're going to give money. No. Let's be unified even when things are good, and no one's necessarily in pain or in suffering, and we're still going to come together because we're Am Yisrael, we're one nation, we're one entity, we're one body. Perhaps that's what the Torah is telling us in this week's parasha, the idea of Ikisani Zeh Sholosh Begolim instead of Sholosh Pa'am. Today's shir is Ilu Nishmas Eliezer and Shlomo's Yerzad is Boibiyim. I didn't have a chance as chus to meet him, but I know his son quite well, and I got to get to know him more and more every single week. And if his son is a reflection of his father, I can imagine, I can know for sure he was a great man. David is a wonderful member of our shir, a member of the society, a member of the community, and the great work that he does for Klal Yisrael to help others is remarkable. And he tells me stories about his father, about when the Gedolim used to come down to Florida, and they used to go to his father, meet with him, and he would take him around. And you can see how he talks about it with such love, how much it meant to him. So it's clear to me what type of man he was, and the Torah that we learn here in all the weeks, and all the Torah that's done on behalf of David and his family should be an unbelievable schus for his neshama. Today's year we're discussing a tough topic. Today's year we're discussing a topic called Mayim She'in Lahem Soif, and the Heta for Agunas. Believe it or not, the issue that we had last week, where a body goes missing, a man goes missing, and the body is not yet found, presented itself over and over and over in Jewish history. It's not a new problem. If you read through the tshuvas, this was actually very common. And the reason for that was because that was the common mode of transportation, was boat. So if you're on the boat all the time, it's very likely that something can happen in the boat and someone can go missing. So if you look in the literature in the Achrenim, this is not new news. People going missing is all over the literature of the Achrenim. It's in the Rishonim. It's all over the place. However, what we dealt with, what came up last week in Baruch Hashem was not an issue. Maybe it was b'schus to share. It didn't become an issue. Was what happens when a body goes missing in water, and the body is never returned, the body is never found. So what do you do? What does the woman do with regard to Aguna? Does she stay in Aguna for the rest of her life? How do we deal with such a shaila? Similar shailas have come up throughout Jewish history, and the most recent was the World Trade Center attack. That's when the Gedolim of our generation worked very, very hard to figure out how to deal with Aguna shailas. Rabbi Chaim Jachter wrote a terrific article, 4-part article. So you can get it online, get it on Yeshiva World. Where he breaks down all of what Beis Din of America did and how they worked through all the different cheshbonos to come out to be mate various agunas. There's a sefer we quote from here today also called Kol Tzvi, printed by Yeshiva's Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yochanan. So Kol Tzvi Chelik Dalid is all about Rabbi Willig writing letters back to Rabbi Zalman Lechem Goldberg in Eretz Yisrael, discussing being mate various agunas during the World Trade Center attack. And we'll go through some of them. We'll discuss some of them. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote tshuvas about being matir agunos after the Holocaust. That's one of the more famous ones. And then we'll see there's some contemporary tshuvas from Avad Yosef and the Tzitzel Eliezer. Tzitzel Eliezer has a really interesting case about a lady whose husband went missing, and they found a lady he was involved with the mafia. Okay, we'll talk about that. Perhaps a little bit more exciting than some of the other cases. But nonetheless, it is a very tough situation. It's not simple. You have to have very big shoulders to deal with childs like this. So when after the World Trade Center, they convened the Beis Din of 3 great Rabbanim that were going to deal with the World Trade Center Shailas. Why did they convene the Beis Din of 3? Because the Aruch HaShulchan writes, whenever you want to be Matur and Aguno, you should have it done with 3 rabbis. Get 3 rabbis together in a room. If all 3 rabbis sign off, it can be Matur the Aguno. That's why if you look in many of the tshuvas, they always say, if someone else signs off in it, I'm good to go. Well, what do you mean? You're a big rabbi. You don't need anyone else. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, we have a Mesairah that to be Matur Agunas, you need to have a Beis Din of 3. So if you look in, they always try to find the Beis Din of 3. So who was the Beis Din of 3 that dealt with the World Trade Center? So that was Rabbi Willig, Rav Schechter, and Rabbi Schwartz from the CRC. They all worked together to be Matur the various Agunas, and they worked tirelessly. And if you listen to the shurim that they give on it, they really spent leiv nefesh, day and night, not missing anything, not leaving anything unturned. They looked everywhere to find heterim to be matir these women whose husbands were in the attack. And again, these shells come up often in the Israeli army. These are very popular. Let's say, for example, you have a helicopter that gets shot down over water. It goes down into the water, and they don't retrieve the body. What do you do with the soldiers? So these were tshuvas written by the Daily HaPaiskim as well. So these are things that do happen over time, that bodies do end up in places and we don't know where they are. And how do we deal with it from a halachic standpoint? So we'll open up with the comment of the Marsham. The Marsham writes over here, number one, the Marsham was discussing, the Marsham lived in the end of the 1800s. The Marsham was the grandfather of the famous Reb Shalom Shadron. We know Rabshalom Shadron was the famous market, so he had a grandfather who had the same name as him. That was the Marsham. He lived in the turn of the 20th century. He was one of the great poskim of the late 1800s. So he has a whole tshuva over here. We're not going to get into his tshuva, where he's discussing Bimater and Aguna. But what I want is the end of the tshuva. He writes at the end. He says, I'm trying all I can do to Bimater this Aguna in the third line. He quotes a Bach in a tshuva that says, "Ki mishmater aguna achas bizman hazeh, ki ilu bona achas michurvo yisiyu shalayim elyeinu." What a special schos. A person can be mater in aguna, as if he's building, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. L'hatzel b'china achas min eish eschayel. He says, "B'shem l'chazin, l'chen ikdachti ligmar ha-tshuva ayoyim b'yem amit b'yem atzoyim ha-lachor b'yem tefardenu." That's why I worked so hard today on a fast day. Says the Marsham, to be matar agunas, because that's a tikkun for the Beis HaMikdash. If we can be matar and aguna, if we can permit one lady to get remarried after a situation, that's like being involved in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why on a day like today, Shavuos B'Tammuz, where we're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, through our limud ha-Torah of this topic, we can make it considered as if we are rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. A very serious idea of how important it is to be able to be matar agunas. And the Rabbanim took this very seriously. Those Rabbanim who were, I would never want to have to deal with it, but I'm happy there are G'dayim who want to deal with it, or feel like they need to deal with it, that it's a very difficult parasha. They say about Rabbi Herzog that he was told by his doctors he's not allowed to research anything. He's not well, he has to take it easy. But when Naguna came to his door, he dropped everything and he put all his kaychas into it, because he said for Naguna, you have to do everything. We have to work very hard to be mata women to be able to remarry if we have the proper legal backing to do so. So that's the idea of the Marsham. It's important. It's like we were building the Beis HaMikdash by being mata agunas. So what's the problem? Why is it so complicated to be mata and aguna whose husband seems to no longer be around? So there's a Mishnah at the end of Yevamos, number 2, says the Mishnah. If a man falls in, now when I keep on saying man, I don't mean as opposed to women. If a lady goes missing, you also have shailas. Because since we have a chem de benu gershom, we don't remarry so quickly, it also seems to present a problem. If a lady were to go missing, the Nadi Yehuda has a tshuva like this. A lady goes missing, she took her two kids somewhere, and she goes missing, and she's never to return. So they came to Nadi Yehuda, they said, could you matter him to remarry? So Nadi Yehuda says, I don't know, I can't be so quick to be matter because there's not even Maka Mitzvah over here. Because we already had two children. And they're b'cheskas chayim. I don't know where they are. They're in some of their life. So the Nadi Yehuda seems to think that it's not so quick to be matter. Oh, just, oh, it's a man. He can get remarried right away. It's not so poshut. So the Shiloh does come up. And the Beis Din of America dealt with this also. The way it happened was, when the Beis Din of America, they didn't want to, but some of the newspapers published articles about what happened during the World Trade Center and the Jewish spin on it. And people came forward with stories. And some people came forward, some non-religious men said, oh, you know, I had women. I had wives that were working in the World Trade Center. I didn't even realize it's a shayla. So they had to deal with this as well. So they did deal with it. They were matir. They used much more kulas to be matir, a man to remarry, than a woman to remarry. But nonetheless, it still needs to be dealt with. We treat chayim de ben gershom very seriously. We don't just say, oh, no problem, I'm take another wife. And that's not so posh. So when I say men, it doesn't mean lafuki. Women just are more makel. Women, there's more room to be makel. They use much more lenient kulas than we did for the men. So the Mishnah says, if a man falls into a body of water, bein sheyesh lam seif, bein sheyesh lam seif, whether there's no end to it, or whether there is an end to it. What does it mean to have an end? Let's say a swimming pool. A pool, a mikvah, a lake. It's a surrounding. There's no way, presumably, the fellow got out of the water and no one saw it. It's impossible. It's a little smaller enclosed area. So the Tanakhama says Asura. His wife is Asur. So the question is, why should his wife be Asur? No one can live on the water forever. So after a certain amount of hours, he had to have died. So he didn't come out. We were all standing around the pool. Where did he go? So that needs a lot of discussion. So the Mishnah goes on, Vayit Omer of Meir. Ma'ise be'echod. There's a story with a person. Shenofal lebor ha'god. He fell into a big pit. And 3 days later, he made an appearance. So what's this Rav Meir proving? That people can live underwater for a long time. And now, this doesn't work with science or medicine, without there being some, you know, again, today the magicians know how to do it. They put on these things, they go underwater for, you know, 2 days or something. But you can't go underwater for so long unless there's a trap door somewhere, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. But Pashtas, a person can't. A person goes under, you saw a guy go into the pool, and you're standing along the edges of the pool, he never comes out, you can assume he's dead. Where's the body? I don't know. It's a strange thing. How did it disappear? That's the Tanakam. So the Gemara says, the Gemara explains it a little bit more. Tan Rabbanim. Nafal Amayim. A person falls into a body of water. Bein she'esh lehem soif, whether there's an end to it. Bein she'ein lehem soif, ishtei asura. His wife is also divir of meir. Why? It's like Rashi number 3. Shema la'acher prishase misham yotze v'halach. Maybe he left afterwards. Everyone's standing around the pool, and they where'd he go? So he's lasting on the water for an amount of time, and then he gets up and dries himself up and leaves the pool. The Sava Reb Meir Adam Yochel Chayus L'Shoyis B'Mayim Yoyim. Reb Meir is of the opinion a person can last in the water for a day or two. So the Chavayim ask, that doesn't work with science. You can't last on the water for a day or two. But Machloekis Reb Meir and the Shitas in the Gemara is how long a person can last on the water. No one can last on the water that long. So it's a kasha. Okay, we don't pass him like Reb Meir, but it's an interesting sheet. Reb Meir is of the opinion that a person can last a significant amount of time on the water, and therefore there's nothing guaranteeing that he didn't come out. So the wife is awesome. Yeah. Is there even one person that can do it today?
No,
scientifically speaking, I'm not even sure it's true. Yeah, the Aruch Lener, the Keraner has this kasha, the Meiri has this kasha, and Rashi, very, very shver way of learning the Gemara. But what's the next sheet in the Gemara? This is what we need, because we pass on like the Chacham. Says the Chacham, Maim Sheish Lam Soif, if there's an end to the water, Ishtoy Muteris, his wife is Mutter. Vishayin Lam Soif, Ishtoy Asura. But if there's no end to it, like the Atlantic Ocean, it's a huge ocean, then Ishtoy Asura. What is the definition of a water that has an end? You can see the four ends. Here's one side, the other side. You can't stand in the Atlantic Ocean and see the four ends of the Atlantic Ocean. It's impossible. It's a massive, massive, massive ocean. So says the Gemara, according to Rav Meir, as long as, it doesn't matter where the person falls. Person falls in a pool and they never come out, the wife can never ever remarry. The Chacham says, no, it depends what type of body of water it is. If it is an end to the water, then she is mutter. No end to the water, then she's awesome. That presents us with our problem. The Atlantic Ocean, where this Rabbi Bauman fell into, was considered Mayim Shalem. So if in most of the shiles of the Achranim, we're talking about massive oceans. We weren't talking about small lakes or a guy didn't come out of the mikvah. Massive oceans. They're Mayim Shein Lem Soif. Mayim Shein Lem Soif. The Gemara Paskin, well, see the Rishayim Paskin, like the Chachamim, the Mayim Shein Lem Soif, Ishtay Asur. Question is why? What's the Svar of the Chachamim? What's the difference between if there's a Yesh Lem Soif or Ein Lem Soif? What's the difference? So Rashi, number 4 on Daf Kuf Tezva, Rashi says, why is the wife Asur? Ve'af b'shish edim k'sherim shetava. We saw him go in the water. Most of the cases that Chachamim deal with is that we saw the guy go in. That wasn't the question. So what's the tzad l'hakel? Shema tzof mitachas hamayim v'yotza. Maybe he floated under the water and he came out. Maybe he came out on the other end. We have no idea. There's no end to the water. If we're standing around the pool and we all see, there's no way to, he couldn't have come out without us watching him. But this is a massive ocean. He could have went down 5 miles. He'd be in a different state, a different city. Comes right out, starts a new life. And there were stories like this. There were stories of people that faked their own death for insurance purposes, to get away from their wife. Real, real stories of Jewish people. I don't know if I could call them frum. Orthodox means you keep Torah mitzvahs. That's not really keeping Torah mitzvahs, but Jewish people who played games like this. There was an attack in one of a different country where a fellow right before took out a massive insurance, and then he sent in that he was where the thing happened. And lohayv lenivra, he made the whole thing up. It was an insurance fraud to the highest level. So we're chayshish. There's such a possibility. Now, do we have the right to be chayshish every individual that maybe he's a bad guy? Of course not, chas v'shalom. But Chazal were. The Gemara was. The Gemara said we can't take a chance. If there's no end to the water, you have to anticipate or at least suspect that maybe he got out the other end and we missed it. That's where Rashi says, Shema tzof mitachas amayim v'yotz. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amar Aleph, Kuf Chaf Aleph Beis, discusses heavily different cases. The Gemara goes like this. Amar Vashi. And these Gemaras are the main sources of what we use in the Rishonim and the Paiskim to discuss the Shail. This is very important. Says the Gemara, when do we say that war that has no end, the lady is also hanimili b'inish da'alma? If it's a regular fellow, regular Jew. But let's say he was a Torah scholar, loy. Then no. Then there's no such din of ma'im she'en lam soif asura. Why? Because he desalik kala isla. Because if this guy would have came out, there'd be a massive koil. Everyone would know. This guy's a big rabbi. The whole town is missing him. They're worrying about him. They're crying over him. And then if he popped in, everyone would know he's back. That's something that would become world-renowned news. So therefore, says the Gemara, if it's the rabbi is the person, then all bets are off. Says the Gemara, v'lohi, it's not true. No, not true. Doesn't make a difference what your background is. The same halacha. What's the halacha? The eved in lechatchil aloi. We'll see in a minute that the Gemara has a gevaldige chiddush. Let's say an aguna decides that she wants to be married before getting permission. Her husband drowned in the Atlantic Ocean. Nobody's ever recovered. And she goes to a rabbi who never learned Yevamos. And the rabbi says, yeah, I think you can get remarried. Why not? Sounds right. He hasn't come back in so long. You can get married. He forgot that before she mentioned Yevamos. And she goes and gets remarried. And now someone tells her, what are you doing? It's against the halacha. So the Gemara says that's okay. She doesn't have to get divorced from her husband. And this is loy teitzi. If she already got remarried, she can stay married. Now we're going to learn that this is going to be very relevant even lechatchila. This only sounds like it helps b'di'evit. How does it help a woman who wants to get married properly? So we'll see a chiddush from the Shvaz Yankiv at some point. But the Gemara has a comment that b'di'evit you could stay married, just lechatchila you can't. Now that right away tells you what? That this is not such a severe issue. If this was to be a real issue, what do you mean? Of course you have to get divorced. You're not properly married. It's not a Jewish marriage. So l'chayre, this seems to be a telling sign that this is only some form of a lesser issue than what we think of. Then the Gemara tells us a story. Tanya Amr Ben Gamliel, Pamachas Eisi Ma'alch B'Svina. Says Ben Gamliel, I was once going on a boat. For Eisi Svina Achas Shenishbara. I saw a boat that broke. But Eisi Mitzana, I was depressed. Al Talmud Chacham Shabo. There was a Talmud Chacham, the boat. Umanu Hu Azir Bakiva. And I figured that's the end of it. The boat capsized and he was on the boat, so we know where he ended up. When I came out of the ocean, I saw he was with me in a din Torah. What are you doing here, Akiva? I thought you died. I found a daf of a boat. Like, you know, one of the paddles, one of the pieces of the boat was there. I floated on it. So Rav Meir Shapiro gave a drasha, daf shel svina. A daf a day can save your life. That was his drasha about learning daf yomi. A daf, one daf. Look what we can do. That was his push for the limud of daf yomi. Okay, from this gemara. So what happened? So Rabbi Akiva told him, I'll tell you the story. I was in the ocean, and there was a piece of wood, whatever it was, a daf, and I jumped on top of it, and I waved it out. He said, "Nizdamali, I found it. V'chol gal v'gal. Anytime there was a major wave that came up, shabalai nananti. I went into the wave, and it was fine. So the Gemara says, "Mikanam Chacham Yavod Rishoyim Alod Mianeila Rishay." Okay, the Gemara uses this as a metaphor to discuss about Rishoyim. So if a Rasha comes at you like a wave, so bow your head into him. So then he says at the end, "Amarti Boisheshak Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim." He said at that point, I appreciated how smart the Chachamim were. That say what? Shamru Ma'im She'esh Lam Soif Muteres Ma'im She'en Lam Soif Asura. The rabbis knew what they were doing. They chap that being lost at sea doesn't automatically equal death. There are strange ways where a person can survive at sea. Maybe not likely, but nonetheless, to say for sure, because you saw a boat, you saw a helicopter come down in the water, or you saw a boat or someone drowned, not necessarily does that mean that's the end of the life. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara is giving validity to the taina of Maim Shein Lahem Saif Asur. Then there's one more Gemara. Gemara tells us another story. The Gemara says, the Gemara is telling us a story about a guy. We're not going to get into it today. There's much to talk about who's trusted to say what happened. And in this story, we'll talk about the story that most recently happened. There were children. I don't think they were of bar mitzvah age. There was another counselors there as well, so they could be made that they saw the person go into the water. But let's say there's no Jewish witnesses that saw him go into the water. Let's say the only person there is a guy. Or the wife herself. She says, "I saw my husband go into the water." Is she Neman? Is she not Neman? The Gemara discusses these types of things. So the Gemara over here tells us a story about a certain guy that was saying, who's from the family? Because he said that from this family, I saw that that he was eaten up. So the Gemara says, we'll skip a second over here, where Gemara says, so they were mocked him to get married, and the Gemara took it back, and the Gemara said, oh, it's not true. So I want the last three lines one more time, says the Gemara, Amr Vashi Shmami no. Hod Amr Abon Maim Shem Soif Ishta Asu Hanamil Chatchila Avali Nosa Leim Afkina Minei. And then the Gemara repeats it one more time. That what? Lo Yishno Gavir Rabba Velo Yishno Lav Gavir Rabba De Evid In the Chatchila Loi. That's it. The rules are very clear, says the Gemara. Every Jew is the same. If a Jew is in a Maim Shein Lam Soif, he's a Surah. If his wife got married Bidi Evid, she'd be allowed to stay married, but otherwise she'd not be allowed to get married. So now what we need to figure out is, what was the logic behind asking Maim Shein Lam Soif? So we see from the Gemara that there's a possibility. So what? So if you look in Taisus and Yevamis and Dav Lamed Vav, Taisus has a kasha. He's discussing over there the Gemara. The Gemara talks about that most babies are born healthy. Right? Most babies are not in the Nephilim. Most babies are born healthy. So Taisus has a kasha. So Gemara over there is a cheshbon over there about a baby. So the Gemara says, why don't you just use Rav? There's a strong miut. A miyot is a miyot, but it's a strong miyot. Kimoi b'mayim she'en lahem soif. Just like mayim she'en lahem soif. The ishta asura says, Taisa, you know why you can't get remarried by mayim she'en lahem soif? Because there's a very, very small percentage of people that survive. Due to that small percentage of people, we have to be chayish l'mi'uta. And that's where we hold, you're not allowed to get married. Says Taisvis, the geises, sending with the geises. Shei me'idim ala lasi ishta. Avagav deshema. Okay. So Taisvis says, what about a geises? Let's say a person sees a person who's clinically ill, terminally ill. He's about to die. He's got a few days left. And the last time you see him, you want to know, can I now assume that he's dead? The answer is no. What do you mean? But he's going to die, but there's a chance that he may hang on a little longer. So we're always choshesh lemuta. Now, why are we choshesh lemuta? Is that because Stamazay were choshesh lemuta, or because of the chumra de ish ish? It's not clear from Taisis. That's what Taisis' next line says. Avagav the Shema Hasim Shem Erva Hechmiru. Taisis is about Varni, that maybe the reason why we're machber by both these two cases are not because we're normally chayish lemuta. We don't care about the mute. We care about the erva of an ish ish. But Taisis in his first answer in Yevamos assumes that's not the pshat. The reason why we're machber by Mayim Shein Lam Soif is because of the fact that we have to always be concerned about the mute. Taisis in Bechayris Tavchav says differently. Taisis in Bechayris writes, no. Says Tais, I have a bigger kasha. Why is she allowed to get stay married? Why don't you worry about the miut? Rabbi Avad Yosef writes in the Tshuva that if you have a miut and you have a chazaka, what's the chazaka? She's a cheska seishish. She was married yesterday. She's married today. So you have a miut that the husband's still alive. You have a cheska seishish. You combine the miut and a chazaka, it becomes palgo palgo. Becomes half and half. That's a very savvy that writes to the chumra. So says Tais. So why are we matrit? He says umash echmiru shom lechatchila. Mishum chumra the eishes ish, different lambdas. The reason why it's a problem is not because of choshes lemiuta, it's because of chumra the eishes ish. These are two different lambdas. They're two different, very different lambdas. Lamashal, if you look in the Gemaras, you ever hear the Gemara always often says mishum eguna hikilu berabano. This is the exact opposite of the sugya. It's a very strange thing. We're being machmir. What do you mean? I thought we bend over backwards to be meikel for aguna. Yes, sometimes depending on the situation. But over here, since we have an isra eishes ish on our hands, we have to be able to justify her remarrying, which is a serious Torah violation. They talk about they all the achranim all they grapple with this issue. Why sometimes we makel? So some of them it's mominous. Not always is it isaveta. But yeah, it's a funny thing. If you wouldn't know anything, you say of course we makel by neguna. That's the whole idea. Misha meguna kila berabon. So that's taisvus and bechayvus. There's a taisvus over here number 8 that's very important for us. Taisvus is commenting on the Gemara. The Gemara said that even rabbis that die in the water, there's no heter for them to remarry, for their wives to remarry, even though perhaps one could argue that there's a coil that goes out. If they were found, it doesn't matter. Says Taisus, Avagav, Dirubayu, Tzov, Mirabani, Salakol, Isla. For Taisus, the Lamaisa, there's a roiv. Taisus, the roiv is roiv, Tamidi, Chachamim, that miss in water. If they're alive, we would know about it. Taisus calls it a roiv. So says Taisus, so we have a roiv over here. So why are they not mutter? The Gemara says they're not mutter. Fact says they should be. There's a roiv. The roiv should dictate to us that the wife should be allowed to get married because the husband's not alive.
What's the roiv? That they call Isla?
Yeah.
The Gemara says that it wasn't called Isla.
So we're going to have to figure out. We're going to have to figure out how to learn the Gemara. Why does the Gemara reject the roiv? So Taisa says, Mikom Mokom Loi Chashin Ola Isa Roiv. So Taisa says, no, we don't take this roiv into consideration. She cannot get remarried. So it sounds like Taisa is agreeing to the fact that there is a roiv. He's not denying the Metzias. Avada, there is a roiv. That roiv, Tamid Yechacham, who die, word would get out that they never came back. Nonetheless, as Taisvis, it doesn't fly. We'll see that this Taisvis is going to be very relevant in a few minutes.
Is the roiv that they died, or if they come out, people know that they survived?
Okay, good.
Roiv on a miyad.
Okay, good. Now we're getting lomdish already. Good. We're getting into the Yitzchak Chan inspector's territory. Again, the simple cheshbon in the Gemara is like this. Roiv, people that fall into the water, die. A small minority survived the water. That's one roif. Now there's another roif.
Oh, that's the
mead. That's one conversation, roif and mead. Now there's another conversation. In the group of rabbis, roif rabbis who die in the water, if they survive, we would know about it. There's a small mead of rabbi that if they wanted to start off a new career, and this was the best way of doing it, so they decided not to spread the word. So you have two roifs in the same situation. So we're going to have to see, is that the halacha of Trey Ruby? That we apply the principle when you have two roiv, you can be mekel. We'll get to that hopefully at some point. So the Gilya Mashovi has a kasha. He writes, after hocha ikka tre ruba. What do you mean over here? You have two roivs. Daha, mayim she'en l'msoif ruba mesim. What's the double roiv over here? Roiv people, no matter what they are, when they fall into water, die. The second roiv is roiv tamid yechachamim, when they fall into water.
Also
there's a well, and we'll know about it that they don't come out. Says the Gilya Mashovi, v'tzarechin. So he doesn't answer this kasha. We'll see why this is very nigi halacha l'maisa in a few minutes, I hope.
Could this be true? Rov Chachamim, they will hear about it if they come out. They'll hear, oh, rah, rah, rah.
Right.
They came out. Not you going to hear about they didn't come out.
No, the Gemara says that we're choshes they're going to come out and we're not going to know about it. The Gemara says, no, that's impossible. If they come out, we'll know. That's the Gemara's cheshbon. The Gemara's idea is that we're always worried that people are going to sneak out the other end of the water and we missed it. And then they're going to go unknown. The Gemara's is not true. If a Talmud Chacham survives this, we'll all know about it. That's the cheshbon of the Gemara. The Gemara says that. That's the roi the Gemara works with. So, Frank the Gilly Mashov at Sarachir. My hut Sarach lo raya miriv geisesim. Why do you need to bring me a raya from geisesim that you don't use roif? You want to prove to me that you can't use roif in our sugya. You know where the biggest raya is? From the Gemara. Every case of maim shayla am soif, roif people die. So, why is it ever us in the first place? The answer is because we don't care about roif. So, if you don't care about roif, why would you care about roif? By Tamid Chacham? It's a very, very strong kash. So we'll develop a little bit more. We'll see how this Tosfos is going to be very relevant to Halacha L'mais. So before we even get to that, so how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Meir? Do we paskin like the Chacham? So the Rosh in number 10 writes, he quotes the Machlokes of Meir and the Chacham, and he writes, after the comment of the Chacham, he writes in number 2, in line 2 and number 10, V'chein Hilchasa. That's it. The Halacha is like the Chacham. Uman Demari, and anyone who rules, B'mayim She'en L'mesayif the Ishtem Uteres, and anyone who thinks he's going to be matrit, bar sham tohu, he's in chayrim. They have no business. We paskin like the chacham. Nothing to talk about. Tarmina who gave the tovi the agma the samki v'insbei rav shila. The Gemara tells us all the stories where people drowned and they came back to life. So nothing to talk about. Shulchan Aruch paskins the same way. It's interesting. If you want to look for these halachas in Shulchan Aruch, you find them in a very funny place. So Evan Ezra is probably not so surprising, but it's in Siman Yud Zayin. That halacha is kedushin. That's doing the manas. So later on, it talks about these the end of Siman Yud Zayin. So I think most people would first start looking at Siman Yud Zayin, but it's not. It's an Evan Ezra Siman Yud Zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch writes it. This is Sifal Amid Beis. Ra'u shenafal yam. You saw, we saw him fall into the water. Afilu tova biyam agol. He drowned in a very big body of water. Eim eidin alav shemes. You cannot testify that he died because shema yatsa mimakam acher. Maybe he came out from another side. V'nafal amayim uchunasim. But if he died into an enclosed body of water, everyone's standing around. This is a very important line. And we stayed around long enough that he must have died. I mean, we left. You know, if you, the guy goes, what normally happens, you see a person having trouble, you run to go get help. You come back later. You don't know what happened between that time that you weren't there. Rabbi Vad Yosef has this issue with one of his tshuvas, where there was a small group of people, and someone was drowning, and everyone left to go get help. So no one was standing around to actually see him die, or enough time to kedesh teitzei nafshei. So says the Shulchan Aruch, it has to be that you were there long enough kedesh teitzei nafshei v'loy ola, then me'ilav shemesu mesinis ishtar. So then you could, because that's ma'im sheish lahem saif. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 12, v'cheno isha sheheyed lo. Let's say a lady testifies, or eit echad shetava ba'lo b'ma'im sheyed lahem saif v'loy ola, v'ovad zichroi, and his remembrance is gone. It's been a long time already. And his name was forgotten. It's what we'd call today old news. We already forgot about this guy. We'll see how long it takes to get to that point. She can't get remarried. Al Eidazu. Commotion is buyer. Even if Bezdin permitted her and she didn't get married, she still can get married. Fine. And if she did get married, she doesn't have to get divorced. So before we read the Ramah, so the Mordechai in Yevamos asks a very basic kasha. So why do we ever have a neguna shayla? Let her just jump and get married. Solve the whole problem. Such a funny thing. If the Gemara's halach is correct and this is loitetze, so throughout the whole Shulchan Aruch, let her just quickly run. She sees her husband's drowning, so she'll quickly run, chab a match from another guy, and we can't divorce her. So she'll solve the whole problem. Okay, but I'm saying,
You can't go ahead and just do it. She did it. So
the Ramah qualifies what this means. Hagav edavka shenisses al pichachem oy betor shesavre shimuteres. This doesn't just mean that she decided, you know, I see that my chance of getting out of this marriage is very slim, let me quickly go marry another guy. No. It means that you thought you were allowed to get married. But if you decided, I don't care. I don't learn the end of Yevamos. I don't know what it says in the Mishnah. I'm going to get remarried because I think my husband's dead. About that, you have to get divorced. That's not what we mean. So this obviously makes it much more again. Now we no longer have a clear cut. Because normally we could just tell the girl, listen, we can't be mad to you, so go get remarried. We can't divorce you either. No, says the Ramah. It doesn't work that way. It has to be where it was a mistake. But if it was not a mistake, she wouldn't be allowed to get remarried. Says the Beis Shmuel, Harezu lo tinasi. Ve'ein chilak, it makes no difference. Bein mutam l'chachem, bein shu ein mutam l'chachem. It makes no difference to her status of her husband. That's the Maskanas HaGemara. Va'afilu im nevat kama shanim. Even if he's missing for many years, asura. Doesn't matter. So rules of Shulchan Aruch. So it seems to be a very clear, open, closed case. Ma'im she'elam saif, there's nothing to talk about. Unless you find the body, she's an aguna forever. As very sad as that may be, and it is, that seems to be the simple ruling based on the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara. The Berhetiv over here has a discussion of how long does it take Shetetze Nafshe. Shulchan Aruch says that in order for a lady to be matter in a Maim Sheishlam Soif, it has to be that people stood around enough time for him to die. How long does it take for someone to die in water? So today we would just Google it and we'd find an answer, that whatever Google paskins. But the Behaita brings a machloikis about it. He said, how long is it? 3 hours. It takes 3 hours for a human to die in water. I don't believe that's scientifically agreed upon. I think based on science, I think they say 8 minutes is the longest, or 7 minutes or something like that. Very, very small amount of time. But Pesachei Tshuva says 3 hours, which means according to this, so let's say a person, Nebuch, drowns in the pool, and the person's standing on the side and they can't do anything. And they decide after 15 minutes to walk away. So that's they weren't there long enough. They weren't there because Tetzi Nafsha. You have to be there for 3 hours. Then he quotes the Rivash, then he quotes some other people, and they're Mesupik. Is it a full 3 hours or into the third hour? He's up to the third hour. And then he quotes him the Marit. Marit says, no, it's a lot shorter than that. It's a short hour. And Bavad Yosef is convinced it's 15 minutes. That seems to be pretty accurate with science today. Bavad Yosef says 15 minutes, you know someone's dead. If you see a person underwater for 15 minutes, you can assume that's already Tetzi Nafsha. That's what Paskins at Bavad Yosef. So before even getting into how could we even start to matter? Meaning the Rabbanim who dealt with the Aguna Shalas were dealing with a very difficult Shalom. The Shulchan Aruch is clear. There's not like a Yeshayimrim, there's two Shitas. It's clear as clear can be. We're passing like the Chacham, the Shulchan Aruch writes it, the Rush writes it, the Muki Yosef writes it, the Rambam writes it. It's clear. There's not much wiggle room. So one of the interesting comments that the Noi Debihuda, who also dealt with Agunas, he writes this to his intro to dealing with Agunas. It's something that's interesting to say, but again, for the family, they don't want to hear this perhaps, but it's interesting. He writes like this. Of Omlam, page 2, number 15. He writes, Omlam, Liois Ishazu, Yeshivas Agunik Vayesim Arbashan, he was done with an Aguna case of 4 years already. He said, Tzvichanan al-Mashkuni Nafshin Ashwasoid, we got to figure out how to be matter. The Rabbanim were very compassionate, they are very compassionate people. They don't just tell her, tough, I'm sorry, deal with it, it's what's meant to be, all the classic answers. No, they got to figure out a way to get her out of this predicament. So what do? So he writes, Umetchila Amino, Shekol Divri Hateim Shadover, Beishazu Hubetanai, Shadar Ishra, Shivin Anisko, Hayudarim Ishta Kider Kol Aretz. Rule number one is we got to make sure they had shalom bias. Unbelievable. That's the first question they ask. What was their marriage life like? Was this guy looking for an excuse to get out of his life? Because if so, this chashash is a real chashash. If this guy was, drowning in debt, no pun intended, and, he had a lot of debt, he was very unhappy in his marriage, he was this, that, and the other, maybe he was looking to start again. Go out the other end, no one knows who he is, start a new life. Says that, now again, you don't want to have that conversation with the spouse. It's obviously very uncomfortable. In all the tshuvas, they ask that. In all the tshuvas, they say, and there was no shalom bias problem, and they were so happy together, and everything was terrific. They always ask that question, because it's from this Nadi Yehuda.
Most rove people who fall into the water die, right? It's only a Mia that survives.
Right.
And I would think rove people who survive try to get back to their family, try to notify.
That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about more. How do we look at that small group?
That's a double,
right? That's what we're going to talk about. That small group of people who manage and survive, why don't they let us know that they're alive? What's going on? What are we missing here?
But it's an even smaller group of the small group of people who survive.
Right, but we...
Because the rove would... just like rove Tamei Chamim are known, which I'm not even sure how true that was in the old days when people didn't know what people looked like.
No.
Let's assume we'll accept it. Still, I would think that even regular people, most of them would try to get back to their families or get contact.
Right, so the question is, so what's the cheshbon of the Gemara? Why does the Gemara have this miyut of people that the Gemara thinks that there are people out there, again, albeit a small group of people, we hope, that want to start again? Now, the question is, if we can assume that that's not the reason, this is where Rav Moshe writes his famous truth about the concentration camp survivors. Anyone who survived the Holocaust wanted people to know that they were alive. They were not trying to hide it. They wanted to, anyone should know. We'll see in a second if Moshe writes it down in Tshuva. But says the Nadi Behuda, unbelievable, he writes, there was no fights. They wanted to do this on purpose, to stick it to her. This is what the guy does. He goes on business trips, and he comes back. It's normal. Now we have a little bit of a reason to believe he's not part of that small group that's trying to start again, but he really, something happened to him. He'd come home. That's not enough to be matur and aguna. That would be so easy. He'd take all the cases, line them up and say, you guys have nice shalom bayis? Yeah, sure, we're wonderful. I go to work every day, I come home every day, everyone's great, terrific. Now we can start looking for kulas. This is step number one, says the Nadi Behuda. Step number one is to assure that there is none of these chashashes, and then we'll start digging and figuring out ways to come out. But we got to first clear that there's no none of these types of problems or reasons to believe believe he was trying to leave his wife in such a situation.
Was there any talk about, look, if you're underwater for a while, you possibly came out with amnesia?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm saying that could be the possibility that he came out, uh-huh. Okay, and there's no call.
Is that true? Is there a medical connection to amnesia? I don't know. Is there a connection to amnesia and water? I don't know.
No problem. If you lost oxygen for a while, you come out. Right?
Potential fact.
Huh?
Potentially factual.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put it with the miyut. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that there's this miyut. So the Mordechai, we're going back to the times of Rishonim now. The Mordechai has a long piece over in Yevamos. Well, he writes the following whopper of a chiddush, which is very, very negeya for most of our situations. He writes like this. He quotes the truth from Elazim Yivardon. That was a place. Dictic, he made the following dig in the Gemara. Midik amar ma'im she'enam saif ishte asura. Says, ma'im she'enam saif, the wife is asav, loy kamar asura la'oilam. Very subtle dig. This is a rishon. We're not talking about a chareinim over here. A dig from a rishon. What does the Gemara say? Ishte asura. Why doesn't it say ishte asura la'oilam? She's forever asur. Nothing's going to change. Says Rabbi Elazar Mivardin, not true. Shemamina delav lo ilam kamar. It's not forever. This din of Mayim Shalom Sav Ishtay Asura is not forever and ever. It's not a life sentence. That's a gavaldik adik. That's something. Then he goes right there. He says, Chedir, Shetal Rabbi Seidu, Kol Chachmi Adov, Yer Shemayim, Shizkam, Nizkilo, Alinian, Hamura, Vaherech, Boi Limtza, Lila, Lahat Isha, Shalaguna, Harbe, Arba Shonim. He was talking about a case of 4 years. That's really a long time, 4 years. Ki nitva bala, v'cheskas buchicha, she nitva, ki akelem, she yita besvinay, all the things that were with him in the boat, nimtzu asfas yam, they were up on the shore. V'chei kasa, v'ena Avram, v'ena Moshe, she koma, she hugu, ho ilam, afarish, dasu, lo ilam, nir mishum, distama, koma, asu, v'lo yov, kitzvel dav, they never gave a time. And then at the end of the piece, he quotes a bunch of Rishayim who say, this is ridiculous. What are you talking about? What type of dik is that? Asura means asura, nothing to talk about. And it's not clear, so what do we do with this Mordechai? Do we carry this lahalach or not? So the Beis Yosef writes number 17. He writes, "V'hanach roye kamer raver vechokin arebel liyazim v'vardon." I saw many Rishonim who argue on him. Mitamim nechoichim uberurim. V'did the Rebbe Eliezer ain lahem amal sheyismuchu. Nothing to rely on. This svar is not going to go anywhere. You can't. You cannot use this to be matan aguna. The svar of Rebbe Eliezer v'vardon that there's a time limit. That we give a certain amount of time. We expect the husband will come back and make an appearance in 5 years. After 5 years, 4 or 5 years, it's over. You know, face reality. Says the Beis Yosef, we reject it. Says the Beis Yosef, if anyone thinks he's a genius, and he found the new chul in the Rishayim, and he's going to use this of Elazar to be matar naguna, oh, he's going to pay. He's going to pay for such a psak. So we would say to ourselves, okay, this is not a saving grace because Beis Yosef rejected it outwardly, clearly. Nonetheless, Avad Yosef writes not so fast. Says Avad Yosef, who was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef? Mari Bei Rav. The Mari Bei Rav quotes in another sefer to be samech on this. So as Rebbe Avad does very often, if the Beis Yosef would have known what his Rebbe said and what all these other people would have said, he would have changed his tune. So says Avad Yosef, don't be overly nispal from the Beis Yosef. Okay, Rabbi Vadya can do that. That was one of his godless. He did it all the time. He'd say, if Godel X knew how many other people wrote about this topic, he would have changed his mind. So here, this happens to be correct. It was his Rebbe. The Mari Bei Rav was the Beis Yosef's Rebbe. So Rabbi Vadya assumes that if the Beis Yosef knew what his Rebbe held on this topic, he would have never wrote this statement.
Well, of course, you could assume that he knew exactly what
he right. So we take the Beis Yosef, whatever he tells us. Says Rabbi Vadya, don't, you don't have to go like that. So that's very negeya. If this is the case now, it doesn't help immediately, but it helps after a certain amount of time. Years down the road, at some point, she can get remarried. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein did use this heter from Elazar Mivardon. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva nigros Moshe Evin Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel, where he talks about those that returned from those that lost family in the concentration camps and those who survived, the women who survived, they wanted to know, can they remarry? What do they do with their husbands? So Rav Moshe was asked the following shayla: B'dover elu shahayu ba'Auschwitz ukedayme ma'amekayme shanatziz yemach shemam srufim b'kivshunei esh b'chedrei hagaz. The Nitzel Mehem Rakam Otam, very small people survived these death camps. Gamlei Echad Me'elef, not even 1 out of 1,000. V'am Elu Shiyad Rak Shenu Shul Sham, Eich Yeshlodim B'Tovish Nishasem. How do we deal with their wives? What do we do with such a situation? V'hine Nil Nizdaiti, Lodim B'zeh B'Tovish Chodosh, Asher Hu Nochin Mo'oid Be'enei. V'imaskim Chaveir L'zeh Yesh Latirun, Mekevli Ha'igun, Shahar B'Chashosh Chazal L'zeh. He says Chazal were very worried to leave women in these types of marriages. Says Rav Moshe, we're afraid that what's going to happen? We're going to tell all these women, you can't get remarried. What's going to happen to these women? What are they going to do? Says Rav Moshe, let's be honest. What do you expect these girls to do? Be in a marriage that they don't have a husband? They're going to go out and look for something. That's not correct. So we got to find a way, says Rav Moshe, to permit them halachically to get remarried. The times of the Azarua, they were worried about this. Definitely today, you got to tell a lady she's stuck in a marriage with a husband that doesn't exist. What do you think is going to happen? She's a human being. She needs to have interactions with people. Hashem is barach. Hashem should help us that we shouldn't make any mistakes. Okay. So what does Rav Moshe write? He's discussing back and forth. Can we be matter? Can't we be matter? Now again, obviously there's no body. So it's like Mayim Shalom Saif. It's possible. Again, you have the same chashashas. The husband survived the war and he never came back. People survived. There were survivors. So you had the same problem of Mayim Shalom Saif with the same issue. So Moshe says, "V'oid yesh l'tzarav shita shablaz mivarden." Says Moshe, along with other things, you can use shablaz mivarden. Shehevi amod chasefi v'amish. So also lo'elam b'mayim she'elam soif el adman she'umdral mechach mehador shekvar mis. A certain amount of time that you can assess that he already died. V'im kain kol shkein be'uvda didon shlehoisa takon al aser biyichar al ze el shana lemidim lo ze shelidei yesh lahatar chazman rav she'umdral mechach mehador. He says, because today, this is not really Mayim Shalom Saif, this lady. You know, the Auschwitz wasn't really Mayim Shalom Saif. We're borrowing it. So Moshe thinks you can be Samech on Blazim Yivardon. I, the Beis Yosef, completely rejected Blazim Yivardon and said, if you're Samech on him, Asadli Dinah Sadin. So we'll see how Moshe gets around that. Now Moshe had another Stamazay Hete that he used for Agunas and the Holocaust. He said that a lot of the coolers are because we're dealing with a mass group of people. He said all the Agunas Shals in the Gemara was one person. One lady, one man, one couple. He was talking about hundreds of people. Moshe says when you're done with a larger group, there's more and more can be made. Now again, that doesn't help us for our individual cases, but that did help for the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center was also a tzibur. That wasn't just one person on a boat. That was a large group of people. So Rav Moshe has this head that he thinks there's more and more to be made when you're done with a roiv, a large group than a small group. Frank of Moshe, how can you be saying mechandra blazim yivarden? Avsha amord chay masik v'shem rav yov rav baruch rav rom dein lahatra azeh v'chay pasuk abes yosef mikom okim vada yesh tzav gam daiti lahatra b'ovda didon shenegeh laharbeh. Moshe says you can use it when it's negated to a lot of people. Now, which l'chayru, one could argue, according to Moshe, you can't use it for one in person. Let's say one lady. One lady whose husband goes missing on a fishing boat. You can't use it for Moshe's heter. Moshe was talking about for the majority. You can still use it for Avad Yosef's heter. Avad Yosef said that if the Beis Yosef would have known what his Rebbe said about Rebbe Lozman Vadon, he would have changed his mind. Okay? That you could still use. But l'chayru, Moshe, you can't use. Then Moshe says, t'be'etzem hasam chino das yachid. We have the right to rely on a minority opinion. If it's a shasat chak and a hefsim meruba, this is definitely a shasat chak. Maybe it's not a hefsim meruba, it's not a lot of money, but it's a very pressing situation. And Moshe goes on to discuss why he thinks that you can be matis. So Moshe does give credence to this Rebbe Lozar Mivardon, but again, in order for that to kick in, you have to wait at least 4 years. This heter is not immediately. It has to be enough time where everyone says, oh yeah, that's it. You know, we gave it enough time, he's probably already, he already moved on.
And I think that maybe if it came out elsewhere,
he thinks we're not chayshin. He thinks we don't have to be chayshin for that.
He's in. I mean, how does time help?
Because the right. He's assuming that the Gemara is chash, that maybe he came out, but at some point we don't have to be chayshin anymore. It was a time based issue.
Does that time change based on Tzias, like communication?
Ah, very good. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. How communication changes the whole sugya. So I mentioned you.
That also helped Ligabi when you say Tzurv Merabbanan. Today you have hundreds of people looking 100%. For this one person.
So we're going to see how Tzurv Merabbanan will be effective as well.
But the amount of people that are involved in the catastrophes in the World Trade Center, you had so many people involved.
And therefore?
So it's not like they're coming out on the other side.
So by the World Trade Center?
People don't disappear.
Right, so they say that. They say by the World Trade Center, you can argue it's not even Mayim Shalom Soif. There's no way if you were hit at a certain point, there's no way of you know brushing yourself off and walking out. That's almost impossible. So that was another argument that Bezdin dealt with when they were dealing with the World Trade Center, is that even Mayim Shalom Soif? And the Aruch HaShulchan Aruch, if it's Safik Mayim Shalom Soif, you can be matured.
Yeah, but there were people who survived the World Trade Center.
Depends where you were on the building. Right. So a lot of the shailos.
You don't know where people were on the building.
That's another shailah. People were moving, right? So that's what we'll get to right now. There's a whole sefer called Kol Tzvi. That's one of the journals that is made by Yeshiva Sefer Yisrael Charan. And they have, I told you, Chelik Dalid is on Yevamos. It's just pages and pages of Rabbi Willig writing to Reb Zalman Nechama Goldberg about different shailas that he had about different agunas in the World Trade Center. Reb Zalman Nechama Goldberg's response and rebuttals and back and forth. It's a fascinating read. But it's all about the World Trade Center with all the shailas that came up about which floor they're on and all the shailas. Well, the husband was on this floor and he called his wife 3 minutes before and all these different shailas that they had to deal with. I've had to deal with it. In the middle of this piece, so Zalman Nechama Goldberg was one of the main makilim. One of the major makilim that the Bezdin here in America worked with when they wanted, I guess, someone else to help them, they spoke to Bavad Yosef, who, if you look at his tshuvas in Yabi Yomer, is very mekel. And they spoke a lot to Bzam Nechem Kolbe. That's the son-in-law of Bzam Nechem Orbach. So he was very much involved with being matted the agunas during the World Trade Center. So in that sefer called Tzvi, so I photocopied just, it's a massive sefer, back and forth letters from Rabbi Willig to Bzam Nechem. So I just photocopied one line over here from Bzam Nechem Goldberg. He writes like this. The ain loim Hashem and itzilu rabim ubarchu. He says, you don't have to tell me that maybe there was a large group of people that were attacked in the World Trade Center, and they all survived, and they ran out and started new lives. He says, that's not likely. That doesn't make sense to say that. He says, I'll ask you the kasha. Who told Chazal that roif people in Mayim Shein Lam Saif die? Maybe there's a majority of people that run away. Only Chashash Shem Baruch Hu. We are Chashash that maybe he survived. This is really Rav Moshe's svara. We don't use this with a lot of people. It's not likely that so many husbands were using this as a chance to get away from their life. That's not likely. So there's many people, let's say for example, you have a big boat, you have a cruise ship with a lot of Jews on it, and Nebuch, something happens. So then there's no chash to think, well, all those guys got together one night and said, you know what? The first chance that we have to get out of here, we're all going to join together, go under the water, go to the other side, and start a new life. That's not very likely. So it says, Rav Zalman Nechem Goldberg, by the World Trade Center, to be choshish for Mayim Shein Lam Soif is not really so likely. V'chein.
On an individual basis, still have the same chash. One of those thousands.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Right. That's why it's a chazal where at least choshish. That's why we have to take it seriously. But he thinks in the mass numbers, it's not likely. He says, the higher floors, he doesn't think, as I'm the Chaim Goldberg wasn't concerned during the World Trade Center, you have to be chayshish, that all these guys ran out of the building and never decided to come back home. He thinks it's a very not likely chashash. L'chein karv loymar, mace, this person, that was the initials of their name, that's the way the shell was sent in. Omnam, kedai lahamdin at shana. Says, Bibzam Yechab Goldberg, I'll be matur, but they have to wait a year. So this way you can be fulfilled Ovad Zichroi. Because the Yankee be Saimach Lazim Mivardon. So Bzam Nechem Goldberg held A, we can be Saimach Lazim Mivardon. Now again, he wasn't a typical case of Maim Shein Lam Saif. This was like a quasi Maim Shein Lam Saif. But just to throw into the mix, says Bzam Nechem, let's use Lazim Mivardon. But what's interesting, he gives it a year. Right, we saw it was 4 years. But we saw later that the Pesachim said, well, it depends on the time and history. Right, now he thinks, I would think even a year is a lot of time. I would say three months, 6 months, I would think that's it. But that was Bzam Nechem Goldberg's psak, at least in 2001, he held that a year for the fulfillment of a blazer Mivardon. Yeah.
The fact that Maim Shein Lam Saif is mutter b'dieved, so does that reflect on the Isser that, so the Ikar Dinah has to be mutter, I mean, we wouldn't let her stay married.
Presumably not, it has to be some form of an Isser d'Rabban.
Really,
it would have to be an Isser d'Rabban, that's the best I think we can dig up.
So then what are the parameters of the coolest you could come up with?
That's really what everyone tries to figure out. That's where everyone's trying to start. Like, okay, so how far can we push the envelope to be matter? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a famous psak from Reb Chaim Volozhin. Everyone knows Reb Chaim Volozhin is the Baal HaMusar. Reb Chaim Volozhin paskin shailos. So Reb Chaim Volozhin dealt with the following shailos, which was very relevant when airplanes crashed. Reb Chaim Volozhin talks about a shailos like this. Pesachei Tshuva number 21 writes, person fell from a bridge onto a frozen lake. He went from the bridge through the frozen lake, never to be seen again. So what do you do with that? So Pashim Shah, that's Maim Shein Lam Saif Yishtei Asura. Says B'chaim B'lozhin, no. B'tzorech lahatim itam trei rubei. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's mutter because you have two roifs. What's the two roif? He fell, roif people fall from impact. They die. And if they didn't fall from the impact, he dies in the water. So trei rubei. So two roifs, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's mutter. Now where does this come up to play? This is very negated to a helicopter or a plane. Person gets a helicopter shot down. So roif people perhaps fall from the impact. And then the second roif is roif people die in Mayim Shein Lam Saif. So you have trei rubei. So you can be mutter based on trei rubei. What's the problem between mutter and trei rubei? We learned from the Gemara that Trey Rubi doesn't work. Because Tzuv Mirabonon is Trey Rubi. The Gemara said that Tzuv Mirabonon would not matter. Even though, says Taishas, there's a Roif, that Roif Tamidei Chachamim people would know about if they came at the other end. So it's Trey Rubi. Roif people die in the water. Roif Tamidei Chachamim that survive Rav Tamid Chacham that die, we would know if they come. Rav of them die because the Mir that survived, we would know about it. So you have Trey Rube. And still the Gemara said they can't get married. So what's Rav Lojan talking about? How can you use Trey Rube? The Gemara clearly rejects Trey Rube.
Rav of them don't die because the Mir we would know about them. It's separate.
Ah,
they're people.
It's Trey Rube on the Misa. So now we're getting into Lomdus territory over here. So the Yitzchak Chanan says there's two types of Trey Rove. There's Trey Rube b'zeachazeh and Trey Rube b'vasachas. When does a two Rove be applicable? Over here, it's the same time. The same time you fell, it's the same two Rove. Here, the second Rove only comes out afterwards. The first Rove was what happened in the water. The second Rove was what happened 6 months later that no one ever said anything about it. It says that Yitzchak Chanan inspected that's Trey Rube b'zeachazeh. That we don't do. But Trey Rube b'oisa maisa, in the same storyline, that we do. So that's why Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan justifies the B'chaim V'loshin's P'sak, and this is very negeya. Again, this is also very negeya for, we mentioned planes, and this is also very negeya to situations where you can attribute it to something else. Let's say, for example, you'd have a case where the fellow fell off the boat, or the boat was, let's say, moving very fast, and it was a rocky territory. So maybe he fell on the rock, and that was what perhaps could have killed him. So that's already, you'll have your Trey Rube. Maybe you can have such a svar. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, an Igros Moshe. A couple of tshuvas later down from this tshuva, where he talks about a shayla, about an edus aharkois me'avor the apartment, shehideu be a document, sha'allah be airplane. There was documentation that a fellow went up in an airplane. For airplanes enough on behayam, fell into the water. Hanoi de b'shem English Channel. Fell in the English Channel. This was a plane shot down. Yeah, this is the Achrim deal with this all the time in Eretz Yisrael. All the time, it's Nebuch, this happens. When there's issues that a plane gets shot down, you gotta be, you have to figure out a way to be matted. That's what Rabbi Vajda was discussing a lot, many of his tshuvas, were being matted the soldiers, after different wars in Eretz Yisrael. So it says Rabbi Moshe, so first of all, you have documentation that he was on the plane. So is that good enough? We have documentation that the plane went down. Is that good enough? So says Rabbi Moshe, who edish yesh l'smachazem shum darkoish l'chashid l'shaker? He says, the government's not gonna lie about these types of things. Why are they gonna lie? He was on the plane, he wasn't on the plane, the plane did go down, the plane didn't go down, they're not gonna lie about these things. So that's all good. Says Rav Moshe, what about the fact that it's Mayim Shein Lem Soif? Says Rav Moshe, Ach Yishlodim Shem Shenofel Mayim Shein Lem Soif. But he fell into water Shein Lem Soif. Says Rav Moshe, Avi Yofak Asafti Yishkan Trey Rube. The Rube Me'el Anoifel Me'er Plan Aparech Shu Gavom Od Mesim Takeoff. V'arov Me'el Shein Etfem Yam Mesim. V'achrenim Atirim B'Trey Rube. Rav Moshe's mad, the Trey Rube, no problem. So Rav Moshe Soim Mechan, this Rav Chaim V'Lozhin for Trey Rube. So again, in the World Trade Center, you had that ashtekel also. If a person was on a floor where the plane came right into it, so right people are going to die just from the impact of the plane or from the fire, and then on top of that, you have perhaps falling down. So that's also a Trey Rube. So these types of svaras did play their way. Again, in the case of in the water, our case that we were dealing with last week, that's not Trey Rube. There's only one Rove there, but Trey Rube does play a role in airplane-related issues. The Rav Moshe has another tshuva where he discusses another possibility. They call it a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen writes like this: V'oid yesh l'tzav shidus Trumas Hadeshen b'paskim simkuf lametes ta'af shebekama shalom le'nishma menu levad. The fact that we didn't hear from this husband for so many years, who ruba d'shchichi tuva shemes, that itself is a roiv that he died. So again, roiv people die in the water. Now there's a new roiv. Roiv husbands would have came and told us after a certain amount of time that they're alive. So he says, "Dibizmanenu afilo odem benin hu yoyse kol mitzvah merabon." Says Rav Moshe, today your average person has more kol than a tzvah merabon in the times of the Gemara. There'd be more news about your average guy than there would be about a big Torah scholar back in the times of the Gemara. So he says, "L'chein l'fi mashik osamnu shom demashik mi'ur b'tzvah merabon." I said, 1 second, Frektiv Moshe, we are machmor b'tzvah merabon. So how can we matter today? Says Rav Moshe, that's machs m'shaloi plug rabbonin. That's because they don't want to make up a splitting what type of person you are. Rabbis' wives can get remarried. Regular people's wives can get remarried. That's a loy plug. We don't do that. But Zok Tiv Moshe, if you have a whole group of people that's all in the same boat, that today word spreads faster, yesh b'meila svaru g'doyla l'hatu b'zman azel shitasam. Shegam kol adam kol l'isla. Every person today carries a call that they're alive. V'koshken atu b'zmanenu sh'od sh'nistosu b'doa mehiris ha'yediyas. We have mail and other ways of communication. Mikol Oilam Negad Zman Shnas Tovkov Ainav Shekos V'Chassam Sofer. Talking about the times of Chassam Sofer, the 1800s. Kol Shekin, fast forward today, where it is so easy to contact people, to get in contact with people, to reach people. Says Rav Moshe, therefore it's Pasha today, Kibi Mater. V'gam Mitzar Alachatz V'Oini HaGodol V'Ardifa Shebchol Mekor Mitzvah Shekol Echem Yisrael Shenish Mechaim Es Krevav. So Rav Moshe, specifically after the Holocaust, people were looking to connect. They weren't looking to run away and forget it. They were looking to connect to family. So the Dr. Moshe, it's partial to him that you could be Mekel based on the Svar of the Trumas Hadesh. Now,
so if somebody's on a cruise and they fall off the boat in the middle of the cruise,
right, so that's Mayim Shein Lam Saif.
That's my shayla.
Right. So then, putting together a bunch of other things, we'll have to A, make sure everything was okay between them. On top of that, we'll then have to use some form of time of a v'lozim v'vardon. On top of that, we'll probably use a little bit of the Chumas Hadeshin. And at some point, they will be muttered, right? That's usually what happens. The Tzitz Eliezer has a great shayla. Again, I didn't photocopy it. I felt maybe it's not respect to the person that was asking it. But he talks about a shayla. You can look it up for yourself in Chelik Tezvah Seminon Tez. I didn't just photocopy the answer. A husband left his house in Montreal in 1976 to go to work, and he never came home. And this guy had a regular life. Everything was fine and dandy. He was married. He had a daughter and a son. Life was wonderful. And they couldn't figure out what happened. One day, his brother-in-law was talking, to someone. They realized, Ki hayakashim anshe ha-mafia. So he writes in the shul. They realized that this guy had dealings with the mafia in Montreal. And they basically, after a while, they spoke to one of the people and they basically told him, he's not coming back. Okay. What do you do now? So this is equivalent of Mayim Shalem Saif, but you have some form of an atheist over here. Hey, you have the mafia telling him, hey, he's not coming back. Yeah, this is pretty strong stuff, right? The mafia, they said. So he has a whole tshuva discussing the nemanis of the mafia and the nemanis of the brother-in-law, whole discussion over here. At the end of the tshuva, which is negay to us, it's a fascinating tshuva, but at the end of the tshuva, he writes, number 24, he writes, Yofuhu gam asnif lehet shemaskir b'sikuma mizeh she'isha tzi'ir liyomim v'radifua lihinosei. So he writes over here that a new svar lahok. There's a tshuva from the Shvus Yankiv. I put it on the page over here. The Shvus Yankiv said that if, let's say, for example, we know the Gemara said if b'diavad she gets married, she's allowed to stay married. That's called b'diavad. Says the Shvus Yankiv, we have a principle called shas atchak kid b'diavad dami. A shas atchak is like a b'diavad. Therefore, says the Shvus Yankiv, if you have a lady who's very young, she has a whole life ahead of her, she wants to have a family, or she already has small kids, that's a shasat chak. How can we not be mater? So says the Shvus Yankiv, shasat chak, it can be mater to get married. It's unbelievable. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, yeah, I'm going to throw that into the mix also. This woman was very young. She got married. She was only married for 4 years. And then her husband already went missing. So that's a shasat chak. So shasat chak, we can be saying, throw that into the mix also. Throw that into the Chumash Hadeshin, and Abelazim Yivardon, throw that in also. So that's all, this is part of the concoction that Rabbana make today. They use this also. If, again, I'm not saying if they're married more than a certain amount of years, we say, okay, so stay single. No, about that. But here the Shvus Yankiv says, if she's a young woman and she's very much wants to get remarried, we'd be mekel. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan inspects the passage like that also. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan uses this to sniff lahakal also. This is Shvus Yankiv.
But so what happens if all that's said and done, the husband does come back?
Yeah, so that's what they say about Rav Moshe. Right? They say about Rav Moshe that none of the people ever came back. None of the husbands of Rav Moshe's mat ever came back.
But there's that famous case of
Nebra. Right, so I was listening to one of the shum, I was listening to someone talking about that over time there were people that came back. There were people that came back.
That's her status.
That she'd be awesome. You have major mamzerim problems. Now,
she'd be awesome to the new husband?
She'd be awesome. I'm not sure.
But she married Beheter.
She married Beheter Betos, right? So if you look in Kol Tzvi,
based on this Tzitz Eliezer, so if Rav Bauman's body wouldn't have been found, they would have been.
I think they would have been mad to her. Again, I can't speak for the Rabbanim of today, but I think they probably use everything we just mentioned. Right. They lose the Blazim of Ardon, they use the Shumas Hadeshin, they use the Shvus Yankiv, she's young, they use the Shvus Yankiv, Tzuvim Rabbanim maybe, I don't know, even though that the Gemara rejects, maybe they throw that into the mix, and they'd say, today Kol Shekein, the word spread so fast, everyone would know about it, so I think they would be mad, because the mice of the place can throw in all together this concoction, and they're mad.
They'd make a little while.
They'd probably make away a little bit, yeah, they wouldn't do it so quickly.
But
they'd make
did
a
he go in to save somebody?
He did go to save something.
Right, so really,
You know, I don't think anyone is going to. Chazal try as much as they can to be matured. If you look over here, I just photocopied number 25, the cult. See, this is Rebbe Avadya Yosef's opinion on basically how he wants to use the Chumash Hadeshin and everything we used before to be matured today. Most of the World Trade Center cases, Rebbe Avadya was matured because he thinks he can use all the svaras that we've been using today. I just wanted to end off with an interesting shaila from Reb Zilberstein. Reb Zilberstein was asked the following shayla: Ma'u halach kishadam nafal ma'im shelo seif v'yesh them mitzalmos meduyakos misavav liyam. There's cameras and pictures all around the ocean. Ki medina cheshes mirigol machalonim tzolonim v'hametzalmos maras she'af odam layotze mehamayim. I don't know where this exists. The Atlantic Ocean doesn't have this, but apparently there are some oceans that have
satellites.
Yeah, right. Maybe you can see everything. You could see everything. So now the shayla is: what about such a lady? Husband goes missing. And we have video. There's no way he left. It's impossible. We have cameras all alongside of the water.
But then, even the way that he could have come up miles down.
I'm assuming the cameras were across the whole border. So he says,
then it's not
my dream, so. Right, that's what I would assume. then there's an end to it. We would have saw it. ויש כאן חילוק ברור מסוים בנידון זה לתקנס חזל, כשמתאים רק במוקם מצלומוס, ויתוכן שבנייננו הדובר טוב יצא, it's better. כרי אונו מחב שם אוי סמה אידיה מצלומוס. We're looking through the pictures. וכמעט מן הנמנה שניצה בלי שאירו אוי סוי, ולכן יתוכן שאי שמותרס. He thinks it should be mutter. So let's say, for example, you have a beach where there's cameras and you can watch it. It says, Reb Zilberstein, perhaps we would solve the whole problem of Mayim Shalem Soif, would be mutter without any of these fancy svaras, because there's no way he got out. We watched, we saw. So it's the place can grapple with this, but Baruch Hashem, 9 out of 10 times, they're able to find the Snifl Hakel to be mutter and Isha, to be able to remarry after a tragic type of situation.
Okay. Next Tuesday, we have a cycle of